I'm Pastor Travis, and I thank you for being here. Would you do something and just pause and pray with me for a second? Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear from the choir. And God, we thank you for the reason, for the season, that you came and you dwelt among us. God, I pray that you would use this time to draw our hearts into these two very important questions that we are going to ask this morning. God, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that you would do a work in their heart, that they'd repent from their sin, they'd place their faith in you. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. Who is Jesus? And why did he come? Those are the two questions that we have been asking this Christmas season. Honestly, they're the two most important questions that we could ever ask. If you get those wrong, it honestly doesn't really matter what else you end up getting right in your life. It was A.W. Tozer who said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And what I want you to know is that your ideas about Jesus Christ must be accurate. Your thoughts, your convictions about him, concerning him, they must be based on the Bible. See, it doesn't matter what you heard about Jesus on Facebook. I certainly hope that you don't go there for truth. Or your coworkers. I'm sure you work with some trustworthy folks. But it'd be wise that you didn't base your eternity on what so-and-so said at the water cooler. Or how about your parents? They're often a trusted source of wisdom in our lives. But listen, it doesn't matter what other people say about Jesus. It matters what the Bible says about Jesus, what the Bible says about who he was. And so in the Gospel of John, the apostle, he's going to choose some select miracles for us, some signs, as you will, with the distinct purpose of showing us exactly who Jesus is and why he came. See, he writes in John chapter 20, verse 30, he says, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In the next chapter, he actually states he did so many things that all the books in the world couldn't even contain them. But he says, these things, these ones that I've selected, are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so John is saying, listen, my sole purpose for writing unto you, for recording these works which I've chosen, my sole purpose is so that you might be saved. And listen to me, this is the tough truth for us this morning. If you're going to escape the horrors of an eternity separated from God in hell, it's going to be based upon what you believe about Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important that we could discuss this morning. And so let's just begin with the first question. If you can see, if you're following along in your sermon notes, this is just number one. There's only two points this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And John tells us plainly, he is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ literally means Messiah. See, in the Old Testament, we read about one who would come and they would rule over Israel forever. Right, who would save and restore the nation. He's referred to as the Messiah. It means literally the anointed one. Right, the one that was anointed and appointed by God. God gave him a special mission, and he anointed him to carry out that mission. Jesus is the one whom all the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah refer to. Here are just five examples of the more than 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah. The prophet Micah wrote that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The book of Genesis tells us that he would come from the tribe of Judah. The prophet Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin. The psalmist said that he would be betrayed by a friend. The prophet Zechariah said that he would die by crucifixion. Listen to me this morning. John makes it clear, Jesus is the Christ. Notice letter B if you're following along this morning. Jesus is the Son of God. John said, these things I've written unto you so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is deity in the flesh. In the very first chapter of his gospel, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Note briefly with me some of the offices of deity filled by Jesus. We read this in Colossians 1, verse number 16. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Listen, he is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Note also the metaphors that Jesus used of himself to imply deity. For example, Jesus said, I am the bread of life that comes down out of heaven. He went on to say, I am the door. Right? If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He said, I am the truth. The way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes unto the Father but by or through me. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He also used certain designations for himself which implied such deity. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says, I am the first and the last. I am the resurrection and the life. Note also the names used for Jesus which imply deity. He was called Emmanuel in the book of Matthew. He is called Lord, which, yes, it can be just a common courtesy, a title of courtesy. It can be also a name for a master or an owner. It can also be a title or a name for the Christ, or just expressly another name for God. So he is called Lord. He is called the Son of God. And many times in the New Testament, he is just outright called God. The Apostle John, right? He said that he was the Word and the Word was God. Thomas addressed him as my Lord and my God. Titus refers to him, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter writes, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1:8, God the Father says of God the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son is God, that he has come and hath given to us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Listen to me, God the Son is as much God as God the Father, and God the Father is as much God as God the Holy Spirit. And John said, listen, I write these things unto you so that you might believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God. But listen to me this morning. If he is more than just a teacher, if he is more than just a prophet, then we need an explanation. Why is he here? If Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is God in the flesh, why did he leave heaven? Why did he come to this earth? Why is he walking around as a man? Well, notice letter A, so that you might have life. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Why do you need life? Because the Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins in Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus, he put it another way. He stated to Nicodemus in John 3:3, he said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Romans chapter 3, it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans chapter 6, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so what does it mean then to be dead in sin? What does it mean that you are dead in your sins and your trespasses? Well, death is fundamentally separation. Right? When we die, we're going to be separated, right? The spiritual part of man that makes us who we are will be separated from our body. At death, right, without Jesus Christ, then the spiritual part of man, the soul, will be separated from God. See, sin separates us from God. Right here, right now, our sin separates us from God. And when you die a physical death without Jesus Christ, that separation will be made permanent. Right? It will be made permanent after death when God, the righteous judge, will punish sin with eternal separation from him in the horrors of hell. So spiritual life comes through belief. And so if spiritual life comes through belief, then it's imperative that we are clear on what we must believe. And the Bible tells us the gospel plainly. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die as just a good example, but he died as a substitute. See, on the cross, God poured out his wrath against sin. Jesus took what we deserve. Remember, the wages of sin is death. The one who knew no sin became sin so that we might become his righteousness. Christ died for our sins. He took what our sins deserve. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried. It was a real death. His body was put into a tomb. Sin was paid for. Judgment was satisfied, right? But he didn't stay there because he rose from the grave on the third day. Jesus rose from the grave. His sacrifice was accepted. Death was defeated and eternal life was secured. And after being seen, we're told by many eyewitnesses, according to the scriptures, he ascended back into heaven at the right hand of the Father. Listen to me this morning. Salvation is not earned. It's not inherited. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It's not achieved by being religious or by trying harder. Salvation comes when sinners repent from their sins. When they turn from their sins and they turn towards God. When somebody places their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted. And again, it says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen to me, you can turn to God right now, right where you sit. You can turn from your sin, you can believe that he is the Christ, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again for you, and you can receive eternal life, not someday, not when you get right, not when you try harder, not when you gain all the knowledge in the Bible that there is to ever know, but right now, today, you can place your faith in Jesus Christ. See, Revelation tells us that he stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And so my prayer is that you will open your heart to Jesus Christ today. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Would you bow your heads with me just for a brief moment? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity just to call upon him today. You could pray to him right where you're sitting. Your prayer of salvation could be as simple as, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the very Son of God. I believe that you are the Christ. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, come in and be the Lord and Savior of my life, and help me from this day forward to surrender my life to you. Lord, I love you, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Listen to me. I just want to challenge you real quick, and I'll be gone. We should never, ever, ever look at Bethlehem without seeing Calvary. right? We should never contemplate the incarnation without considering the reason it makes it amazing. The reason it's so amazing is that the very Son of God came to this earth to die for our sin. So that means he renounced his glory. He became poor so that through his poverty, we might become rich. Philippians 2, it puts it this way. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God.